Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
Man, come on, be seated all over the room. Man, I'm excited that we can share this time together. Man, anybody thankful for the word of the Lord? Anybody thankful that it's still alive and active in our hearts and lives today? Man, I'm grateful that we can just say yes and keep responding to what God is saying. We're continuing our series we've been all month, Developed for Destiny, and we've laid a foundation of understanding that God is inviting his people to say yes to development again. God is inviting us to say yes to not just development in all ways, but in specific ways, specifically with our spiritual development. How many of you guys know as believers we should be growing in our relationship with Jesus? We should be going forward and progressing. And we've learned this about this as we've been in the series, that a life of purpose and destiny requires development. A life of purpose and destiny requires development. And we've also learned this, that without development, that a life that should be filled with destiny ends up being a life filled with detours instead. A life that doesn't have development, that should be filled with destiny, becomes a life filled with detours instead. But we know that God is speaking and inviting us to say yes to development. Why? To experience the destiny that he has for us. Go ahead and tell somebody around you. Say, I got destiny. Oh, come on, say it with some faith. Say, I got destiny. I got destiny. Listen, I want to tell you the reason that I feel like the Lord has just instilled this passion for this series to be shared and released over this house is because I believe when God looks at Makers Church, he sees greatness. Come on, somebody. I believe when he looks at us and he sees the people of God, he does not see mediocre or mundane, but he sees the miraculous. So just for a minute, I'm going to speak to the greatness in this room. Church, I believe there are world changers under the sound of my voice right now. If you believe that, somebody say amen. I believe that right now I'm looking at loved and valued sons and daughters of God. I believe that I'm looking at victorious warriors that are spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-gifted disciples and leaders that are called to turn the world upside down with the gospel of the kingdom. I believe right now that in this room together, we are people of God called into the world to make disciples and make a difference. And we're called into places of business and government and education and media and arts and entertainment and religion and family. And I believe that we have been graced in this house with apostolic leadership and prophetic insight and people that are committed to teach the truth, people to pastor the saints, even having the energy to evangelize and see the harvest won. I don't know about you. I don't care what other people have said over you or said to you, even what the enemy has whispered to you. I'm telling you, you are an army of victorious saints, that you are the people of God in the earth. You are the church triumphant. You have greatness and destiny inside of you. And I prophetically declare what Isaiah 60 says over you, that it's time to arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. His glory will be seen upon you. People shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. If you receive and believe that, somebody give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. I believe that there's greatness inside of us, and God is inviting us to say yes to development for the destiny he has for our lives. But listen to me, as much as God wants us, we have to say yes to it. That's why I feel like the dissonance is sometimes we are okay with the mediocre and mundane when God said, I want you for more. I've made you for more. And so what I want us to just continue to embrace in this series is that God really does have destiny for each of us and for all of us, but God does it through times of development. He does it through times of development. Why? Because God is a God of process, and he understands that we have to be taken through the process of our destiny. Why? Because how many of you guys have understood throughout this series that our destiny has levels to it? Our destiny has levels to it. And because it has levels, there are levels of development for the new levels of destiny. And so those things are required from us. But what we have to remember is while we're receiving all these promises, we're receiving the power of the Lord. It's not just enough to receive, but we must also respond. It's not enough to receive. We must also respond to what God is saying and doing. So if you will, get ready with me. We're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1 again. We're going to continue in what God has been showing and revealing to us. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses 3 through 13 today because we're going to continue to look at what God says we must add to our faith to continue to be productive and useful in the kingdom of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read together. If you don't have your Bibles, it's on the screen, so let's read it. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. How much effort? Every and all effort to respond to what God has promised. Here it is. Supplement your faith. That means to add to your faith with a generous provision of these seven things of moral excellence with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with patient endurance with godliness and godliness with brotherly affection and brotherly affection with love for everyone. See this. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting they have been cleansed from their old sins. So dear brothers and sisters, anybody thankful we really are family? So dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things. Notice, he said, don't just hear these things, do these things, and you will never fall away. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, are you thankful God's so good to us? So we can see right here what the Holy Spirit is saying. Supplement your faith. Add to your faith. Why do we need to add things to our faith? Because faith is the foundation. Faith is where we begin. Faith in Jesus is where we start. And he says we need to add some things to our faith. Why do we need to add them? Because spiritual growth and development is not accidental, nor is it automatic. It's intentional. It's intentional. You are never gonna accidentally grow spiritually. You're never gonna grow accidentally spiritually. Just like you didn't accidentally accept Jesus, you're not gonna keep growing accidentally. You've gotta say yes and being intentional. And here's the thing about spiritual growth. Not only is it intentional, most of the time it's incremental. It's incremental. And I will tell you, sometimes it's little by little, sometimes it's by leaps and bounds. But regardless of what it looks like, we should be saying yes and moving forward in our relationship with God every day that we live. If you believe that, somebody say amen. So we can see that we're supposed to be adding things to our faith. And those seven things that we saw, moral excellence and knowledge and self-control and patient endurance and godliness and brotherly affection and love. Listen, not some of those things. We need to be adding all of those things. And we talked about how last week the Bible says a generous provision. The word generous in this context, larger or more plentiful than is usual or necessary. What does that mean? That does not mean you just give a little pinch of moral excellence into your life. You better turn that thing upside down and pour it in as much as you possibly can. You need every bit of moral excellence. You need self-control. You need love and brotherly affection. Not add some of it, add all of it and be generous. Look it to your neighbor and say, be generous with it. Come on, tell them, be generous with it. All of those things. You say, well, Pastor, if I add all of those things, what's going to happen? You're gonna start living like Jesus. Your life's gonna look like him, because the question for most people is, how long do I have to keep adding these things until you live like Jesus, until you look like Jesus, until you serve like Jesus, until you walk and talk like him and do the things that he did? You need to be adding these every chance you get, because when you do, you're more useful, you're more productive, and you walk in greater levels of destiny because you keep saying yes to development. That's the power of saying yes to development. And so we can see, he says, add these things to our faith. Last week, we looked at adding moral excellence and knowledge. How many of you guys have been exercising moral excellence and knowledge this week? See, let me tell you something about these seven things. As you're developing them, you should be exercising them. Remember what the book of James told us? It's not just enough to hear the word. You gotta do the word. You gotta be a doer of the word. So as you hear these things, practice them. Exercise them. We're getting into two more today, but the word of the Lord for us, as we recognize, is to exercise what God is equipping us with. And today, church, we're gonna get into probably two of the hardest ones of all of these characteristics, if you will, to be adding to our faith: self-control and patient endurance. Self-control and patient endurance. Now, I'm gonna tell you what I told your brothers and sisters in first service. This is not gonna be the loudest day where you guys are responding to me. Because the things we're gonna be talking about today are not preached about a lot, and the reality is the saints need to be reminded again. They need to be, what did Peter tell them in 2 Peter? He said, it's my responsibility to remind you even though you've already heard it. So I want you to tell everything that we go through today, it is because I love you that I'm willing to talk about these things. It's because I love you and the Lord loves you that we're gonna look at these things. But listen, don't just receive them, respond to them. Don't just receive them, respond to them. If you're ready, somebody shout amen. So let's talk about self-control, self-control. I believe this is a big one, church, because we no longer live in a society that is self-controlling, but rather self-indulgent. We don't live in a society that's self-controlling, but rather self-indulgent. See, the interesting is we should know that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, which means it should be a natural outgrowth of a personal relationship with Holy Spirit. In other words, listen to this, don't tell me that you were led by and full of the Holy Spirit if you don't have self-control. Don't tell me that you're led by and full of the Holy Spirit if you don't have any self-control, because it should be a natural outgrowth of your personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you believe that, somebody say amen. Now look at the word, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Anybody thankful for the book of Proverbs? It is God's wisdom to us. And how many of you guys know we need wisdom? I'm trying to teach my babies right now at home, there's a difference between intelligence and wisdom. You wanna know why? Because there's a lot of smart people that do a lot of stupid things. Come on, somebody. It's the truth. Why? Because just because you're smart does not mean you are wise. And that's why God said, if you need wisdom, ask and I will generously give you wisdom. We don't wanna just be smart folk, we wanna be wise folk for the kingdom in Jesus' name. But notice what the book of Proverbs, God's wisdom for humanity, this text says. It says, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Now, context here is important. How many of you guys know that back when this text was probably first pinned down, that most cities back in those days had walls? You know why they had walls? For protection. So a city that didn't have walls, or a city that had broken down walls, guess what? They were always vulnerable to the attack of their enemy. They were always vulnerable to the attack of other nations and other enemies. And can I tell you, a person without self-control is vulnerable to every spiritual attack of the enemy. A person without self-control is vulnerable to every spiritual attack of the enemy. So I need you to catch this morning. Self-control helps you protect your faith from Satan. Because I'm gonna tell you, he knows that your faith is valuable. It is in your faith that you found salvation. So guess what he's after? He's after faith. And the truth is of why we have to understand the difference between being self-controlled and being self-indulgent is because Satan is scouting every place in your life that you do indulge as a place of potential invasion. Every place where you indulge, he's looking to see if he can invade it. And guess what, honey? He's not coming in to have lunch. He's coming in to steal, kill, and destroy. He's coming in to steal your faith, kill your relationship with God, and destroy the destiny that God wants you to develop towards. And so what we have to see and recognize is that self-control helps protect the very faith that God has given us. So listen, church, we need to be intentional about adding self-control to our faith. If you believe it, say amen. Now, I got to go into this a little further this morning because this hyper-grace movement that swept through the Western church has watered down holiness and moral excellence and character and conduct in such a way that it hasn't helped self-control, but what it has caused is people to indulge in everything they want and say, it's okay because I got God's grace. And let me tell you something about God's grace. God's grace is not there for you to slide into heaven. God's grace is an agent of change for you to become more and more like him. And so we have to recognize that in this thing where people are like, well, I don't have to be as careful here. It doesn't matter if I slip up here or what I consume or indulge in here. It's okay because I've got God's grace. The Corinthian church said the same thing. So the Apostle Paul, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, made a statement that echoes even till today in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, where he said, you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Notice what he said on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Let me break it down. Paul was telling the believers in Corinth this, just because you could doesn't mean you should. Just because you could doesn't mean that you should. So let me go in on it for just a minute. If it is not beneficial for you, if it doesn't bless the Lord, please don't help yourself, but really have some self-control. Come on, somebody. If it's not beneficial for you, and you say, well, Pastor, are you talking about food or beverages? I'm talking about anything that you consume into your body or your soul or your spirit. If it's not beneficial for you, if it's not blessing the Lord, then please stop indulging in things and have some self-control that will protect your faith in the Lord. We've got to be willing to say yes to self-control again in every part of our lives. Here's why this is so huge for us to catch. Because so many believers have been consumed with finding how far they can go and still go to heaven. How far can I go and can I still go to heaven? Essentially what they're saying is, where is the line and how close can I get? Can I tell you, God is looking for a church that will stop focusing on the line and start focusing on how close they can get to him? He's tired of Christians trying to find every loophole, every exemption. He's saying, forget about those things. Stop being so focused on how close you can get and still get to heaven. Focus on how close you can get to me so you can live like me and act like me and walk in the fullness of my power. That's what God's declaring to his church. Anybody ready to say yes to that kind of intimacy with the Lord? We've got to be willing to say, God, I want to be close to you instead. If we want to fulfill our God-given destiny, we have to say yes. But let me keep going about self-control, because the truth is this, that if you really want to control self, if you really want to control self, then you have to understand that's going to require you crucifying self. If you really want to control self, you're going to have to crucify self. Pastor, that's extreme. No, it's not. It's Bible. It's biblical. Let me show you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of the sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. See, this should be revelational for so many of us because the church doesn't talk about self-control anymore. But we should, because we're supposed to be adding it to our faith. But the reality is, church, listen, is self-control is really surrendered control. Self-control is really surrendered control. See, this is why the Apostle Paul declared three chapters before Galatians 5 and Galatians 2. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice what Paul is saying. Paul says, I don't want control. I want to be crucified so Christ can be alive and he can lead the life that I live. He said, I don't want control. Listen, as long as you want control, you're going to struggle with self-control. We've got to be willing to say, Lord, self-control is really surrendered control. Listen to me. You are at your best when God's in control and you're not. You are at your best when you say yes to being crucified, every part of your flesh being crucified, so you can say, Lord, don't just lead, don't just live in me, but lead me. Can I tell you, we need to start crucifying some things in our lives again. We need to crucify opinion so we can be led by obedience. We need to crucify preference so we can be led by purity. We need to crucify anger so the anointing of God can lead us again. We need to crucify haughtiness so holiness can lead again. Because the truth is, if you want to step into greater and walk in greater destiny, it requires crucifying, not coexisting. For too long, we tried to coexist with things that Jesus said, you need to crucify that in your heart. You need to crucify those things that are operating in you. They're not there to help you. They're there to hurt you. See, listen to me. We're not just called to be coexisters. The Bible says we're called to be conquerors. But the level at which you conquer is the level at which you'll crucify. The level at which you conquer will be the level at which you crucify. If you want to keep conquering and growing and stepping into the fullness of what God has for you, be willing to say, Lord, crucify anything of me that's not pleasing to you. Because I don't want to live. I want you to live in me and through me. If somebody receives that, say amen in this house. We want to say yes to self-control, which is why self-control, listen, is when Holy Spirit is in control and we're following. Remember Galatians 5:16. We talked about it last week. It says, so let Holy Spirit guide your life. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. What does that mean? That means that you are sensitive and in step with the Holy Spirit every day that you live. That means that you stop making decisions without inviting the Holy Spirit's wisdom. You stop doing things without saying, okay, Lord, if this is you, I want it to be clear. I don't want to move without you. I want to be led by you. If you want self-control, then surrender control and let Holy Spirit lead you in every part of your life. Come on, if you believe that, say amen. So listen, just like we can add moral excellence, just like we can add knowledge, we must add self-control to our faith. Now, as we're adding self-control, we must also add this thing called patient endurance. Now, those two words alone are deep, but when you put them together, I'm gonna show my southern roots for a minute. My gracious, that is a loaded phrase. Patient endurance. Patient endurance. Let me show you what patient means. Are you ready? The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. That's just patience. We got further to go, church. Now, just for the record, how many of you guys know patience is also supposed to be a fruit of the Spirit? So again, Remember something about fruit. You don't have to tell people about your fruit. People see your fruit. That's patience. What is endurance? The ability to withstand hardship or adversity. Holy Spirit says through the Apostle Paul, he says, you need to add patient endurance to your faith. That is a deep thing. Patient endurance. Most of us don't even like patience. Can I get a witness in the room? But then you got to add endurance on top of that. He said, I want you to add patient endurance to your faith. See, church, I need to go to a real place today. Can I just be vulnerable with you for a little while? Is that okay? You might as well say yes, we're here now. I believe with my whole heart we are the church triumphant. I believe that we are the church triumphant. Jesus said so. He said the gates of hell will not prevail. We are the church triumphant, but hear me. That does not exclude us or exempt us from trials and tribulations and turmoil and trouble and testing. It does not exclude us from those things, church. You see, part of what makes the church that triumphs is that we also must be the church that travails. We must labor. We must work. We must do everything we can with our natural and God's super to walk in supernatural victory. But the church that triumphs is also the church that travails. And so that's why there are times, church, listen to me, where we have to walk through trouble, we have to go through suffering, we have to withstand hard times and adversity. And because the Holy Spirit understands that, he says you need to add patient endurance to your faith. He says you must add patient endurance to your faith. Now, I'm gonna say it plain just for a few minutes because I need to. Much of the church in the West doesn't understand when I say this because that stupid prosperity gospel only speaks of promotion. All we've heard in America, man, when you get saved, everything's gonna be great. Just get ready for promotion after promotion after promotion. God loves to bless us. God will promote his people, but you won't find one time in God's word where it says you are exempt from pain. You won't find a time, we can go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, where people just like you and me went through things that we go through, and not because they were sinning or God didn't love them, but sometimes God says that's a part of your development. And we've got to recognize that even though we've heard so much that all God wants to do is promote us, the gospel of the kingdom talks about pain and pressure and persevering through problems. That's what it talks about. Let me show you. John 16, 33. This is Jesus. How many of you guys know Jesus is the Son of God? And he tells the truth. He doesn't. Okay, John 16, 33. I have told you all of this so you may have peace. Anybody thankful for the peace of the Lord? Here on earth, where are we? We're on earth. By the way, whenever the Lord wants to take us to heaven, I'm ready. Come on, somebody. He said, here on earth, you will have a few, many. You will have many trials and sorrows. Then he encouraged us, take heart, but I have overcome the world. But notice, he says, you will have many trials and sorrows. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Notice, when troubles of any kind, meaning troubles of every kind, come your way. It's not something that he suggests. He is telling us this is going to happen whether you live for the Lord or not. You're going to deal with it. You're going to have to walk through it. But I go further. How many of you guys remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4? He said, we are pressed on every side with trouble. He said, we are perplexed, we are hunted down, we are knocked down, we suffer, and we live in constant danger of death. If Paul had to walk through it, what exempts you from it? Well, Pastor, I just believe that when I gave my life to Jesus, that everything was going to be wonderful. Congratulations. There are wonderful things about serving the Lord, but sometimes pain's going to be a part of that purpose. Sometimes destiny's going to be difficult. Sometimes it's not going to be easy, but can I encourage you just for a minute, even when it's not easy, it's always worth it because God is good. But even last week in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, we looked at knowledge and we said, the Apostle Paul said, he said, I just want to know the Lord. But do you read that full verse? He said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Why would Paul say that? You want to know why Paul said that? Because Paul was in a place where Paul understood that sometimes you're going to suffer for the kingdom. Because most of us forget that when Paul, this amazing man of God, wrote a third of the New Testament, he was not writing from a palace. He was writing from a prison. And he wasn't in prison for doing something wrong. He was in prison for doing the will of God for his life. And so we have to understand and see that sometimes we are going to walk through hard seasons. Seasons where, how many of you guys can recognize that if you go through a time of suffering, it's not because there's sin in your life. There are times we go through tragedies and just heartbreaking times, not because God has failed or we've done something wrong, but because God allows you to go through it. We need to understand and recognize, church, that as we can go through and see these things about life, there's a reason that we need to add patient endurance to our faith. So let me say it this way. Sometimes purpose is painful and destiny is difficult. And the truth is, sometimes development's just downright hard. Development is just downright hard. Growing in your faith is not easy. How many of you guys know if we could talk to Joseph right now, he could tell us some stories? How about Job? Ooh, everybody loves Job. You don't want his life, though. How about David or Jeremiah or Nehemiah or Stephen or John the Baptist or any of the apostles that were martyred in the New Testament? See, the truth is when you dig, you find they lost spouses just like we lost spouses. They buried children just like we have to bury children. Listen, they were betrayed by their families and friends. They walked through turmoil. They were falsely accused. They were put in prison. They were tested, tried, and attacked. And listen, we only know their names. There are other people that went through the same thing, and we don't even know their names. That's just the ones that were mentioned. How about Hebrews 11, the great hall of faith, where we see by faith people did these supernatural things. Did you know that there were people that we see that did incredible things that kept the faith, but just a few verses down in Hebrews 11, you find there were people that suffered greatly and they also kept the faith. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 35. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. What does that mean? They refused to renounce their faith in the Lord. Look, they placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Look what it says. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. They kept the faith and life was still hard. And we say we're persecuted because somebody disagrees with us on social media. Don't you bring that one to the Lord. Honest for a minute. Nobody ever said that this life was easy. everywhere we see, he says, listen, there are going to be times that you walk through things that you don't understand. Some of you guys see me and say, oh man, I wish I had his life. But you don't see what I've walked through to even get right here. You weren't there. You weren't there when those times wrecked me, when I struggled, when I fought depression. You weren't there when all I could do is cry and ask the Lord why. And most of you have stories that are similar to mine. But the reality is we have to understand something. Even when things are not good, even when things are hard, even when we suffer, God never left us. God never abandoned you. In fact, he was there the whole time. Let me tell you what I've learned from the pain in my life. By the way, for the record, when I started in full-time pastoral ministry in 2010 and 11, I did not know that pain was a part of this thing. I did not understand. And had I known how much there was in front of me, I probably would have just went on to the NFL. That had to be easier. But listen, here's what I've learned about the Lord, about times of suffering, times of struggle, times of trouble. If God does not deliver you out of it, it's because he wants to develop you through it. And that's deep, I know it is. But listen to me. If God does not deliver you out of it, it's because he wants to develop you through it. If you receive that word, somebody say amen. See, I understand that there are folks in this room that you say, Pastor, listen, life has been so hard, and I've walked through tragedy and turmoil and struggle, and I never thought I would see the things that I've seen or endured. But church, listen to me so much. The entire time, Jesus was always there because he promised he would be. Do you remember Matthew 28? He said, and lo, I am with you always. And I will also tell you, if you're a believer, the whole time that you were going through those moments, you never left the hands of God. You were there. You want to know why? Because he loves you so much. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. Somebody say, I'm loved by the Father. Come on, I'm loved by the Father. I'm loved by the Father. I want to encourage you today. I want you to see something. For where we're headed as the body of Christ in the earth, if you think the suffering is over, you're crazy. I don't mean that disrespectfully. Listen, greater is the God that is in us than the things that are in this world. We are the church triumphant. I'm not believing any of those things. But if you think that the darkness is not going to continue to come after the church, it's coming. Well, Pastor, aren't you worried? No, because we are victorious in Jesus' name. But we also have to have some spiritual resolve and understand it's not going to be easy even though we still win. It's going to be challenging, and you're going to have to suffer. Here's what I want you to catch. Do not think in these last days that we will shine the brightest while we succeed. We will shine the brightest while we suffer. Because the truth is that walking with the Lord does not bring an absence of pain and problems of pressure. What it does bring is it brings the presence of God with those things, and he is more than enough to make it through. He's more than enough to make it through and live in the fullness and fulfill the destiny he has assigned to your life. I know this is heavy, but are you guys with me? We must add patient endurance to the faith that God has given us. Now let me encourage you from the word of God. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at what the writer of Romans says, Paul. He said, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will reveal to us later. Man, what a perspective. You will suffer, but the suffering won't last forever, but the glory is forever. He said, so stop comparing your suffering to the glory, because the glory is greater than the suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he revealed to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children are. You're not going to be his kids and just succeed. The earth is waiting to see who is willing to suffer. Those are the sons and daughters of God. Those are the ones that say, we will keep the faith. The older I get, the more I can honor what Paul said. He said, I have kept the faith. Because sometimes it's hard to keep it. Sometimes we go through things and we're like, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore. There's been a few times in my ministry, I'm like, something else has got to be easier. And I wanted to walk away. And every time I wanted to walk away, the Spirit of God said, stop, I called you. And I said, yes, sir. But I said, yes, sir, with tears running down my face, because it hurt. And it was harder than I ever thought it would be. But even here, Paul said, all of that suffering doesn't compare to the glory of God that will be revealed. But let me go further, because I need you to see the greatness of our God and how much he loves us. Romans 8, further down, verses 26 through 28. Say, Pastor, what happens when we get to our wits' end and our weakness, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness? For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I know sometimes we can't see it, but I promise you, if you will just stay faithful during the suffering and the pain and the problems, when you get on the other side, you can say, Lord, I don't know how you did it, but somehow you took what was meant for evil and you made it good. That is the power of God in our lives. He takes all things. Somebody say all things. He takes all things and works it for good. And here's the best part. Not only did he take those things and work for good, but even when we go through trials and turmoil and tribulation, he never leaves us, and we're not separated from him. Let me show you. Romans chapter 8, go to verse 34. Look at this beautiful, beautiful truth of God for our lives. Are you ready? Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor fears for today or worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're thankful for that kind of love, come on and lift your hands and give the Lord praise. Nothing shall separate us. No suffering, no pain, no problems, no turmoil. Yes, it will be hard, but God will be with you. He will strengthen you. He will comfort you. He will walk with you, and he will lead you to the destiny he has for your life. Hallelujah. Man, lift your hands. I feel the Holy Spirit just encouraging. Thank you, Jesus. May we say yes to trusting you even when it's hard, God. Lord, in this season, God, where things are different and we don't understand, Lord, we still choose to trust you. We still choose to trust you. We still choose to trust you. Lord, encourage every spirit. God, encourage every man and woman of God in this room. Remind them, Father, that their best is still yet to come. Remind them, God, if you do not deliver them out of it, you are developing them through it. God, encourage your people in Jesus' name.